Once again, it is so good to have you with us, and we're glad that you are joining us this week. Let's start with a quick word of prayer, and then we will get on with our message. God in heaven, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be here. We ask that you would speak clearly through this message, that it would be your words and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my family enjoys Disney movies, and one of the favorites is Aladdin. You know, the story of an evil villain, Jafar, who wants to have all the power that the Sultan has, and then some. He wants all of the power, the almighty Jafar. That's kind of what he wants to be. And he's convinced he can get it, but all he has to do is get his hands on this lamp that has this magical genie in it, and all of his problems will be taken care of. And let me pause for a second here. Can we talk about the reality that Robin Williams was the best genie of the two that have played it, and he was an amazing actor? I was actually talking with someone that you guys would all know, some of you would know anyway, Donnie, and we were talking about some of the great Robin Williams movies of all time. And there's a number of them. There's Mrs. Doubtfire, or Jumanji, or Hook, or Good Morning Vietnam, Dead Poets Society. The list goes on and on. And in that conversation, we agreed that Good Will Hunting was probably his best performance. Now, don't mistake these references to Robin Williams movies as an endorsement of those movies. I can't think of the genie without thinking about Robin Williams. And as I think about Robin Williams, I'm reminded about the fact that people often hide what is inside of them. They hide what's on their minds. They hide what they're feeling, what they're going through, what they're experiencing emotionally. They put up a front because they don't want others to be brought down by what they're feeling. Or they don't know how to talk about what's going on in their lives and their emotions and their feelings. Now, this community that we're in right now here in Moody County, and others for sure, have lost too many people to suicide. Honestly, one person would be too many. You see, God created each person on purpose. He created them with purpose and for purpose. And if you are one of the people who has lost someone close to you due to suicide, I'm so sorry. I know that doesn't fix it, but I'm sorry. And if right now there's a chance that you are personally wondering whether or not you have any worth or value, let me assure you that you absolutely do. And I realize that me assuring you of that, my words might not be enough. So I want to encourage you, talk to somebody. Call a friend or a family member. Shoot, give me a call. Because our world is better with you in it. I promise you that. I promise you that, regardless of whatever you're thinking, our world is better with you in it. There are other options too. Many areas, including here in Moody County, we offer help through 211. You can simply pick up your phone and dial 211, and there is somebody there that will talk to you, that will offer you help. There's a suicide prevention hotline that's available nationally here in the U.S., As of Saturday, that number has changed. And the idea was to make it easier to remember, easier to use. It's simply 988. That's right, 988. You can call, you can text. I know a lot of people would rather text than call. 988. Now, maybe you're not personally thinking about suicide, which is great. I hope you're not. I hope the majority of us haven't had that thought cross our minds. But even if that's you, don't tune me out, because you can be part of the solution here. You can be on the lookout for people who are talking about wanting to die or having no reason to live. Many times people are having suicidal thoughts, and they may talk about unbearable pain or being a burden to the people around them or just wanting all of the hurt to go away. When you're wondering about someone who may be on the verge of making that decision to end their life, reach out for help on their behalf. Call 211 yourself. Dial 988 and ask for help or advice. Check in with that person regularly. If you think there needs to be a wellness check, dial 911 and get a wellness check out to a person. Offer to accompany them to a place where they can get help. Maybe it's a local emergency room. Maybe it's Avera Behavioral Health in Sioux Falls. Be with them there to walk through that journey. Let them know they're not alone and that you are willing to walk that journey with them. We will walk that journey with you. If that's where you're at, we will. I promise you. I'll give you my word. We will walk with you. Honestly, none of this was in my plan for my original message today, but with the new availability of 988 and my reference to Aladdin and the reminder of Robin Williams, it just made sense to bring it up. I know it's a heavy topic. Please, if you're hurting, there's help. We want to help. Please reach out. All right, let's get back on track talking about the genie. But before we do, please know, again, there are people with the Rescue Church who care about you, who love you, and if we can walk through a tough time with you, we want to do just that. Reach out to us, therescuechurch.com/connect. Find a way to get in touch with us, please, please, please. All right, Aladdin, the genie, where we were at, where we were starting before I got off track there. Jafar in Aladdin wants to be this powerful genie, or wants to reach this powerful genie so he can become an all-powerful ruler. And as the story goes on, Aladdin finds the genie and he is granted three wishes. And as the story goes, Aladdin has fallen in love with the princess. But of course, he's not a prince. He's a common, just living on the street boy. So he can't marry her. And as a result, it only makes sense that he's going to wish that he could become a prince, so that as a prince, he can marry the princess. Aladdin has this idea that what he wants is to become this prince. And if he becomes a prince, that will solve all of his problems. But as anybody who's seen the movie knows, it doesn't actually fix his problems. And after a series of adventures, everyone realizes that Aladdin is not actually a prince. And the Sultan uses his powers to change the law in the end. And Aladdin and Princess Jasmine are able to get married. Like Aladdin, sometimes we have something that we think we want, but what we think we want is not really what we want. Aladdin didn't ultimately want to be a prince. That wasn't the end goal. That wasn't the end game. His desire was to marry Princess Jasmine. He wanted them to fall in love and get married and live happily ever after, like every Disney princess movie. Now, we see the confusion in the passage that we're going to look at today, where there's confusion about what people really want. We're going to be back in the book of John. We're going to look at chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 26. Now, by way of background, Jesus is doing miracles, and he's gathering large crowds of people. Thousands of people, in fact, are following. And right before we get to the what's happening right before where we're looking today is a story that where we learn that there's 5,000 men plus women plus children. There may have been more than 10,000 people on this hillside waiting to hear from Jesus and to see what he would do, what miracles he might perform. And as the day goes on, the people have been listening to Jesus' teaching, and he mentions to his disciples that these people are starting to get hungry. And so these disciples should find food for them. And of course, the disciples don't have near enough food to feed all of these people, but they do actually round up 5 loaves, 2 fish, and they start feeding. And they hand out all this food. And once they've handed out all the food and everybody's eaten, they collect what's left over, and they actually end up with more than what they started with. At the end of that day, Jesus actually sends his disciples away by boat, but he actually says he's going to remain behind. And right before the verse that we're going to look at today, we read that the disciples are on the other side of this body of water, and Jesus actually meets up with them there. And people are perplexed because Jesus didn't get in the boat, but somehow he got to the other side, even though he stayed behind, but he's there now. And how did it happen? So that's the background. That's the history of what's going on up to this point. We're going to pick up the events today in verse 26, where Jesus answers, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed the seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will we do? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread to eat from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Sorry about that. Like Aladdin from the Disney movie, the people wanted the wrong thing. Did you see it? And Jesus actually calls them on it. He says something along the lines of, "You act like you are here because you want to know me, but in reality, you're here because you want to see what I'm actually going to give you. You act like you want to know me, but you want what I can give you." A life following Jesus has a lot to offer. These people witnessed that firsthand when they received from him the food as they were there on the hilltop on the mountainside listening to him speak. And they didn't have to worry about being hungry anymore. He satisfied their literal hunger because they didn't have food, yet he provided it. Now we see this in Jesus' ministry. Remember the story about the woman who had been suffering from constant bleeding? The story is in Matthew 9. It's also in Mark 5, and Luke 8. And in this situation, there were all of these people who wanted to be near Jesus. And this woman in this story, she realized that if she just touched Jesus' clothes, she could be healed. And who can blame her? She's been sick for, I think it's 12 years, if I remember correctly. But regardless, it was a long time. And no one had been able to help her. She'd seen doctors and whatever else, and no one could take care of her. But she knew that if she touched Jesus, she could be healed. She knew God, Jesus, could provide that for her. Or there's the paralyzed man who was lowered down through the roof by his friends, because his friends wanted to get him in front of Jesus. And why did his friends want to get him in front of Jesus? You see, there had been this crowd surrounding Jesus that wanted to get close to him, that wanted to see his miracles, that wanted to hear from him. And these friends knew that if they could only get their paralyzed friend in front of Jesus, that Jesus had the power to heal him. So in this situation, Jesus starts by telling the man that he's forgiven of his sins, and then he tells him that he's healed and that he can take his mat and go home. People knew Jesus had a lot to offer, but they didn't really understand what it was that Jesus had to offer. In their minds, he was providing wisdom through his teaching. And he was doing some pretty impressive miracles that they had never seen before. These people saw that Jesus had all of this to offer, and they wanted more of what they had experienced or more of what they had heard about. Jesus had captivated their attention, and they wanted what they thought he was giving. And it's in this moment where these people are crowding around, and Jesus says to them, like, you came for my miracles, and you came to get food in your bellies, but I have something better to offer. I have eternal life. The people immediately want to know what they have to do to earn that food, that bread of life that he talks about. And Jesus responds to them and said, all that they need to do is believe. All they need to do is believe. We tend to make the gospel more complicated than it really is for some unknown reason. Maybe it's because it seems too simple and we realize that it should have some nuance thrown in. I'm not sure. Some people add baptism to the list of requirements that you need to do for salvation. Others add some sort of classes that you need to go through as part of the requirement. Some people add other do-gooding things or giving financially or showing up to church regularly. Do-gooding things. Do you like that? I actually made it up. But anyway, you get the idea. The idea of doing things to earn that gift of a relationship with Jesus and with God himself. Some of us even add to that free gift some sort of magical prayer. Like if we say some special words in a special way, it will help us into a relationship with Jesus. But it's not about the words at all. It's about accepting a free gift that we don't deserve. Look at Acts 16:31, where it says that the jailer is told that if he simply believes in Jesus, he will be saved. We see it also in Romans 10:9, where we're told that if we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts for forgiveness and salvation, we can have it through Jesus. John 3:16, one of the most quoted verses or reference verses in the Bible, says that Jesus came so that if we believe in him, we could be saved. If you are putting your hope in anything else than Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation, you have it wrong. Now, this might seem really clear to you, but there are people who are still missing the point. Back in Jesus' time, people were missing the point. They're back in front of Jesus on the other side of the water, asking for miracles. It's as if they're just kind of hard-headed and not getting the point. Now, you have to give them some credit because they stayed on theme. Jesus feeds them with loaves of bread, and they come back, and they want more. And then Jesus offers this metaphorical food through himself that will provide eternal life. Incidentally, next week we're planning in the Flandreau campus here to celebrate communion. And in communion, we remember Jesus' body, and we reference Jesus' body, which died on that cross for you and for me. We reference it as the bread. As we celebrate communion to this very day, most churches typically use bread or crackers as a reminder of his body, which he gave for us on that cross some 2,000 years ago. But in this situation, the people don't understand what Jesus is offering. And instead, they want a sign. After all, they say, even Moses gave the people manna. They're questioning if Jesus is any better than Moses. How appropriate or interesting the question and the comparison. First, when you look back at their ancestors didn't even realize how good they had it at the time. They didn't realize how good it was when God gave them this manna from heaven, this bread like substance that God gave him, this manna. And in Numbers 11, back in the Old Testament, we're told that they complained that it wasn't enough. They wanted something else. They wanted more. They wanted meat. And honestly, who can blame them? There is nothing like a good steak or a good burger. But I digress. Anyway, now the people are talking about how great this manna was. It's this revisionist history. They're going, hey, remember that great manna that Moses provided? And they're questioning if Jesus can even compare with what he is offering. And Jesus is saying, I'm all you'll ever need. I am the bread of life. And the people are saying, yeah, but you see, they weren't satisfied. And they were, again, missing the point. Moses never was the one who brought manna from heaven. It was God himself who provided the manna, even back at that point. God was the one that provided that manna in the desert, and it was God himself that offered his one and only son, Jesus, as the bread of life. Now, Jesus brings the conversation back full circle here to where it starts. You remember where that was? You remember how this whole conversation started? Yeah, it started with people looking for Jesus because they wanted what he had to give them. They wanted what he had to offer. They wanted the teaching, the miracles. They wanted the food. Side note, if it's a good meal, it'll get me coming back too. So I can't completely blame them. Anyway, he comes back to them wanting what he has to offer. And he says, you in fact need what I have to offer. But what I'm offering isn't what you think I'm offering. And it isn't what you think you need. What you need is the salvation that I'm making possible through my sinless life, which will then go to my undeserved death and then my glorious resurrection. You need me in a way you never even have imagined and that you're not even seeing. Now, fast forward 2,000 years to today. A life lived with Jesus still has a lot to offer in the year 2022. I think of the hope that Jesus provides as we go through hard times. There is hope when we remember that Jesus has promised, that God has promised that he will work bad situations for good. When you go through the pain of losing a loved one, there is hope that God will bring good out of that hard and painful situation. When you have a relationship that is falling apart, there is hope that God will bring good out of that situation. When you have a financial mess or whatever it might be, there is hope that Jesus can bring good out of those painful situations. And he can. He absolutely can. And he promises that he will for those of us who are following him. And a life lived with Jesus has joy. I'm reminded of a hymn that we sang growing up. It says something like that, there's joy in serving Jesus as I journey on my way. A life lived with Jesus has joy. There's a sense of belonging as well. And knowing that you're never alone when we have Jesus. The psalmist talks about it a lot. And he says, even in his darkest moments, he knows that God is with him. There is the reality that he will provide for us everything we need. If we look at Philippians 4, 19 through 20, we're told that he supplies all of our needs according to his riches. He provides those needs. We could keep going with all of the things that we gain with a life lived with Jesus. Because it does truly bring incredible benefit to you. But if that's the goal, if the goal is all of this ancillary stuff, you are missing the point. Just like these people back 2,000 years ago, you're missing the point. Make no mistake, a life following Jesus does have a lot to offer, but the most important thing Jesus offers is a personal relationship with God that will last for all of eternity. And it is out of this relationship with God that we experience this joy. It's out of this relationship with God that we experience this hope, that we experience this connection. In the Disney movie, Aladdin thought becoming a prince would get him to his goal of becoming a princess. Marrying a princess. He thought being a prince would get him to his goal of marrying a princess. But instead, as we get to the end of the movie, spoiler alert, it's when he is with the princess that he gets everything that he would have had as a prince. A wise person once said, you have to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is not what we get out of the relationship with Jehovah God, Creator God. The main thing is, in fact, the relationship with God itself, Himself. We talk about the importance of impacting our community so people know Jesus. We don't need to convince people that they're headed to hell or that they need to be in heaven with us for all of eternity. We can simply point them and should simply point them to the fact that Creator God wants a relationship with them that's made possible through Jesus. And then that relationship with God allows them to spend eternity in heaven. A relationship with God is the main thing. Are you struggling with what to focus on? Does it seem like all of life and everything is blurred together and you don't know what to do next? Maybe in your spiritual life even, everything just, what direction do I go? What do I do? Focus on that relationship with God. Everything else can come out of that. And you may be thinking, well, that sounds great, Sam, but how do I do it? How do I keep my focus on my relationship with God? So let's start at the beginning and ask, do you have a relationship with God? Have you ever made the decision to accept His free gift of salvation and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved? A healthy relationship with God starts first with having an actual relationship with God. Now, once you have that relationship with God, there's a number of practical ways to keep the focus on it. And I'm not going to say all of these are thus saith the Lord. I'm not saying that all of these are actual biblical commands. Some of this is just practical ideas. And in most cases, we see evidence of it in Scripture. One thing you can do is start your day with prayer. The first thing you do, if this is what you choose to do, is to pray and thank God for another day. That's part of how you can keep your focus on Him. Another thing you can do is you can gather with Christians regularly and intentionally. As part of that gathering, talk about your relationship with God. Make the question, what is God doing in your life, a normal part of your conversations. When you do that, you bring attention back to a relationship with God. Spend time, quality time, listening to God. This is one of the things, if I'm honest, I don't always do well. But it is so valuable when we make time and get quiet and just listen. Another thing is to spend time in your Bible. Spend time in God's Word. If we truly believe it's God's word, pay attention to what it has to say. Get to know what your Bible has to say. I've been hammering that home a lot lately, and someone actually asked me a really good question. They asked me why Bible reading is so important now. I mean, after all, it hasn't been that long that people have actually had access to having their own Bibles in their homes. So, if people didn't have readily accessible Bibles in the New Testament church, or even in the years following the New Testament church, and they still were able to follow God, then why do we need to be so intentional about reading our own Bibles? And honestly, it's a good question. And I don't know that I have all of the answer to this question, but let me see if I can provide a little bit of insight. You see, in Jewish culture, we're talking back in Jesus' day, it was, and even before that, it was very important for people to know the Torah. The Torah was the first five books of the Old Testament. It was very important to the Old Covenant. It was the law. And so they had often memorized much of that part of the Bible. After all, not everyone had a Bible, and if that was going to be the thing that you were going to be held accountable to and that you were responsible for following, it was important that you knew what it said. And so they had to memorize it. And things in this day, back in that day, were also transmitted orally a lot. People learned it and then passed it on to each other by word of mouth. They told each other what they knew because they didn't have readily accessible print media or digital media, for that matter. And then you get to the New Testament church that was meeting together daily. And part of what they did when they met together daily was to study the apostles' teaching. And the apostles' teaching would have been about what the apostles had learned directly from Jesus, things that would go on to become a big part of what we know as the New Testament. We need to spend time connecting with God, and part of how we do that is by being intentionally in our Bibles and intentionally learning what He has to say. Another way that we build that relationship is worship. Merriam-Webster describes worship as to honor or show reverence for a divine being or supernatural power. We can show reverence to God in so many ways for so many things. When we acknowledge that we only have a relationship with God, the only way you or I can have this relationship with God is because Jesus is that bread of life that He was talking about in John chapter 6. It's only because of that we have that relationship, so we should honor Him for it. We should worship Him for it. We should celebrate Him for it. And when we honor God with our financial gifts and with our offerings and with our tithes, we realize that what we have is what we have because it is Him who has provided it. And so when we give back a portion of what He's given to us through our offering, it keeps us from allowing that money to be the priority and to take priority over the one who provided it. And as we worship God, we say that a relationship with Him is the priority in our lives. What are you doing to develop your relationship with God? Let's pray. God in heaven, much of what we've talked about here has been things that have been covered many, many times. It's a lot of repeat. Things that people have heard over and over again, yet so important. It can become easy to dismiss it because of how basic it is. But God, we realize God, help us realize the importance and the value of a relationship with You. Give us even a glimpse of how much we need You. Give us a glimpse of who You are and the importance of knowing You more and the value of knowing You more. God, we know that out of a relationship with You comes so many blessings, and we thank You for that. They're undeserved, but they're appreciated. God in heaven, thank You for who You are. Help us to continue to be intentional about developing our relationship with You. And God, if there is anyone that is connected with us at any point throughout today for this message, my prayer is that if they don't know You already as God, as Lord, as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation, that today would be the day that they would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that they would be saved. God, we pray this in Your all-powerful name. Holy Spirit, we ask Your intervention in lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this recent message from the Rescue Church. We pray that God will use this message to encourage, challenge, and inspire you in your faith journey. To hear our messages live, head to one of our physical campuses. If you'd like to learn more about the Rescue Church, please visit us online at therescuechurch.com or email us at office@therescuechurch.com.